Now, if that doesn't bring a joy or a smile on your face, then definitely talk to me after the service. Praise the Lord. I want to thank all those parents. You know, I know the kids are up here, but it's a lot of devotion for those parents that have been here time and time again, Sabbath after Sabbath, in preparation to allow these kids to prepare for this. So thank you guys for sharing the blessing of praise with us today. On behalf of the church, we do truly want to thank you, and Rohini as well, and Roddy, as they've been working and preparing. It's a lot to do, but we want to thank you for that praise, because that's what it was, wasn't it? A praise to the Lord. And we will be looking forward to other things coming up in the next month, because we have some other special things coming up ahead. But let's take another moment to have prayer. I'm going to kneel. If you just join me in bowing your heads as we come to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, we each look at this time of year with excitement, some of us with heartache, some of us, Father, with frustrations, confusion. It's really a mixed emotion time, and many of us are excited at the possibilities of no school and a break, but some of us aren't excited about that. Maybe there's challenges at home, situations that we can't even begin to imagine. People maybe have lost their job. And the world we live in, it is bleak. But the hope we have in you, Jesus, oh, that is bright. That is exciting and that is thrilling. And I pray that in this moment of worship here today, in this time of worship we have been involved with and interactive with, Father, that that joy, that brightness of joy can shine forth through this time. Through every pause, through every voice, through every clang, through every little piece, Father, whether it be a neighbor sitting next to us, whether it be whatever it might be, but every piece that comes together here today, be it one in which that points us and guides us right to your throne, to take hold of you with our arms, embracing you close and never letting go. This is my prayer for us today. May we be drawn closer to that throne to embrace Jesus, to embrace you close to our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. This time of year, it's a mixed emotion because, again, we have a lot of ideas being bombarded at us left and right through billboards, television, radio stations. Some of them have even started playing these simple little melodies that we've heard forever and ever. And these melodies, some of us get excited about, others of us go, no, not until after Thanksgiving do we want to hear these things. But even beyond that, there are other things that are being cultivated in our minds. We call it Black Friday. And it's probably more of a bigger thing than Thanksgiving in and of itself. When you think about it, what gets more airtime? The items and things that they want to share with you around the time of Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving itself. You know, it is the time of year that they use to exploit the fact that we're vulnerable. We're vulnerable because we're open to the idea of sharing and open to the idea of being thankful and trying to share that thankfulness. But in the process, what they try to exploit is that in order to be thankful, you have to go to the store at 4 a.m. Is there stores out here that do 4 a.m.? Or at 5 a.m. or whatever the time may be. Or even now, what have they done? They said, you know what, don't wait till then. Start now. So then through internet, through whatever ads you get constantly, they're bombarding us with the idea that in order to truly be thankful, that you have to purchase these things, do these things in order to even be nice to give these things away. Never mind that you might end up having a whole surmountable debt of which to have to... But don't worry about that. Worry about that later. Be thankful for the moment. And other ways that they do is they promote the idea that, you know what, I deserve it. You know, I put in a lot of time, all this stuff. That 60-inch I've been dying for the last... You know, I deserve that thing. Not in the family room because I'll never see it. Because my kids and all that, they'll see it all the time. But I want it right in my little man cave. Or maybe for the lady in the kitchen or in some special spot, her special cave. You know, I want it right there. So I have undivided, no one to mess with. I have that time all to myself with my 60-inch. Maybe it's a car radio. Maybe it's a car that actually works. Whatever it might be, you know, there's all these things. And it derails us from the main focus. When we think about, we culminate this whole time in thinking about Thanksgiving, it all goes back to 1621. It goes back to a group of people of which were going through so much persecution, turmoil, that weren't able to express themselves freely in the praise and worship to their Lord, God, and Savior. Because they didn't have that, they said, you know what, we're going to do whatever it takes to go from A to B, and it means crossing an ocean. Means taking a whole group of people, children. And we're going to do it. It's going to be challenging, and we're not going to have a buffet dinner like we had at home. And we're not going to have the niceness of things that we had, but we're going to make this journey and go all out to this land because it's got to be better than here. And so they do. They make this journey all the way out to America. And in the process of that, through suffering many losses and going through a lot of heartaches and turmoil, they get to the United States, and what happens then? Everything is golden, right? They get their mansions, they get everything, it's all beautiful. We know the history, for some of us that remember that. They get here and they meet this indigenous, this tribe of Indians of which, okay, we do not understand each other. We don't even speak the same language. And at the same time, they're struggling because they don't know how to live in this land. I mean, how do we even begin to cope? They're suffering with not having enough food to carry them through. And so all these things are going on. But yet the culmination of all of this doesn't come down to, well, you know, what kind of banquet can we have? It all comes back down to seeing that, yes, there was differences. And yes, there was different ideas and we had differences in how we believed. But yet, somehow, some way, they saw past that and they saw a people. Somehow, some way, they saw maybe even God working within those people to bless them. And thus, not only were they receiving a blessing, but they were giving a blessing unto them. It wasn't so much about the culmination of food coming together on a big, huge, whatever table they might have had, or floor, or whatever they might have used. But it was about the unity of coming together. To see each other as human beings. And that together, they can help, encourage, and lift up one another. To nurture each other. To provide for one another. When we come with a heart of worship, do we come with that same idea of thankfulness in our own hearts? Not thankfulness for what I have. Not thankfulness for what I could have, not for the hopes of this or to that, but to say, you know what, together we're coming. Yes, we have our different ideas, we have our different theories, we have our different lives of which we're at. Some of us are living in good lives, you know, in the sense of we have things, all the money and such to take care of us. Other of us are struggling with that. But God still works the same in both lives, does He not? We do understand that, right? He's not one of choosing, well, hey, I like them a little better. We do that, unfortunately, sometimes. Hate to admit it, don't we? Thanksgiving comes. Five people call you. Love you to come over. Which of the five do you choose? Now, I'm not telling you to tell me your thought process on which one you choose. And I'm not trying to figure out your motive for why you choose what you choose. But we all have to come around to choosing. It was exciting this week. We had that challenge a little bit. We've had about five invitations for Thanksgiving and different things. And we've picked three out of the five because we just didn't have any more time in the day to fit any more in. But what's the motivation behind why we do what we do? Where is it leading us? There's a time together that they came, and later on, because of that time at Thanksgiving, that they had come around that time of year to culminate a harvest and to share with each other. That didn't get adopted till many years later. It was almost in the 1800s. Yeah, it was in the 1800s did that actually get adopted as a holiday. We think that was back in 1621. That really, no, but it was a lady that, and I'm forgetting her name right off the top of my head, but a lady that inspired and had a whole movement. She says, we need to adopt this as a holiday. And it's got changed and adopted and mixed in here and there, but this is where Thanksgiving came from. All off a theory and an idea, but not based on food, my friends. It had nothing to do with food. It is about God's goodness and how He can bless those that bless you. Do you see that? Remember in Genesis chapter 12, we read about Abraham and God is sharing with them that I will curse those that curse you, but I will also... We see a culmination of that even in history. And the other benefits of which those pioneers had come to share with the Indians and other things, there was a mutual give and take. Now our sinful nature, don't get me wrong, we look throughout history, our sinful nature kind of gets the best of us and we ruin a good thing. That happens too, doesn't it? Maybe that doesn't resonate with you, but how about coming over to Thanksgiving? You've been invited to mom and dad's, but you and your sister or you and your brother don't get along. Now, mom and dad invited you. You're supposed to have a good time, but the moment you walk in the door, who is there to greet you? They look at you in the face, and that look alone starts burning something within you you thought you had buried. But it is gurgling so much that some way or another, words start coming out of your mouth you didn't even know existed. So our sinful nature can take a good moment where we can share a family moment together and we can ruin it because of our selfishness, because of our pride. Is that not true? But we're not just talking about Thanksgiving in the sense of a holiday. We're talking about the Thanksgiving we bring to worship. Yeah, the pastor has a connection. Because every week we celebrate Thanksgiving and the joy that we have in Jesus, amen? We bring our heart of thanksgiving each and every week. Even if we have nothing to be thankful for because everything has gone wrong, we still have a heart of thanksgiving. Why is that? Does that just come out of thin air and I'm just supposed to have a heart of thanksgiving, so I'll just fake it and show a nice face when I get to church and just be like, woohoo, great week. Yeah, whatever. You don't really care anyway, so I'll just keep walking. You ever had that? You know, somebody says, oh, hi, how's it going? We'll talk later. You've never had that happen? Praise the Lord. Let's open up our Bibles, the Word of God, in Psalms 89. But it happens, doesn't it? It happens in our real lives at home, with our families. We have issues. There's always something. And even when we come to church, we can lose that heart of thankfulness because our selfish nature starts to take precedence over the thankfulness that God has been planting in our hearts. The thankfulness that we know to be true in our hearts, because when we read the scriptures, we are reminded of God's thankfulness. But do we hold on to it to everything we have? So that when we come to this moment, that we come with the moment of laying aside our agendas. We lay aside our ambitions and say, you know what, today is about worshiping God. It's not about what I like or what I don't like. It's not about what this person's wearing, what this person's not wearing. It's about sharing the joy in Jesus Christ. And I hope someone next to me gets to see it. Not because it gives me heightened praise, but because they can see the joy of the Lord in my heart and it's reflected in my actions. Because that's what Thanksgiving is all about. Psalms. What chapter? 89. Psalms 89. David gives us some wonderful wisdom in the heart of worship, which culminates all with the idea of thanksgiving. It says here in verse 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord only once a week, once a month, once a year. I mean, come on, really. Do I really have to go to church every week? Just once a year is good enough. Same thing with our families. You know, I only get to put up with them once every so often, right? I didn't know what that really meant until I was gone from my family, immediate family, for 8 years, and not to be able to have the opportunities to be with each other because you don't have the means. It brings a different view on things, the petty things that we used to have that why we just like, oh, do I seriously have to go over to those so-and-so's house? It's kind of like that idea, you know, it's, you don't know that the, what is that saying? You don't, there we go. I heard it. Say it out loud. See, she says it much better. You don't know what you have until it's gone. Isn't that true? But for Jesus, I pray that we know what we have before we're gone. Let's read it here. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness. What will he do? He will do what? We want to make sure we hear this. He will make known your faithfulness. Not his, but your faithfulness to all generations. You know, for David here, worship is a witness. Worship is a part of sharing. You cannot be in worship without sharing. You have to be sharing it. Now, you're sharing it to the Lord God, and in the process of that, who get to witness this sharing? Who get to be a part of seeing the joy of the Lord in your heart? All those around us, amen? For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever, in verse 2. Your faithfulness shall establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to my servant David, your seed I will establish forever and build up your throne to all generations. And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints. Assembly of the saints, who's that? There's some group of people that are devoted to God, right, that are getting together, amen? Sometimes we think corporate worship is, oh, you don't need that. Well, not according to what we read in Scriptures, because he's always saying, and always, whether David and other places, even in Paul, always talking about an assembly coming together. And what are they doing? They're not focusing on them. They're not focusing on the music. They're focusing on worship of the Creator God. Sabbath, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12, it says, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. It is not holy because of what we do, but because of whom we worship. Any day can be a day, but this day God had set aside for us, and it's holy because we worship our Creator. That's why and we call it a palace in time, because truly it is. When do you come to church service? Do you think of church service or a time of worship in which it is like a premiere? Now go with me for a minute. When you have movies and things that come on, they always have a premiere. The premiere is saying it's bringing out all the lights and the glitter, right? It's bringing out all the big things. Is there any excitement associated with a premiere? I mean, everyone's pretty bored about it, right? I mean, like, okay, it's just another premiere. There's no excitement. There's no thrilling part. Everyone could go, ah, whatever. There's no money. There's no one dresses up, right? Okay, am I right or am I wrong? Whew, praise the Lord. They're with me today. All right, I wasn't sure. That's not at all what we see, is it? They get excited. They dress up. They do all this stuff. Whatever their motivation is, it doesn't matter. But it's there. They build it all up. But how do we prepare for the best premiere that we could ever have? And we get to have it every week. Why do I call it a premiere? Because each and every week that we get to come, God is coming in a new light to us. Not that he changes, but because every time that I come into true worship with my Lord God, he refreshes in me. And because of that, it is a premiere. Because I get to say, Lord, what do you get to share with me today? What new things do I get to discover, whether it's sitting next to somebody, whether it's sharing the sermon or listening to the sermon, whether it is doing the musical up here with the chimes and bells, whatever it might be, it is a blessing and I can't wait to see it. Thankfulness is about giving our worship to God. It is about our hearts wringing out the joys that come from the anticipation of spending quality time with our Savior and sharing that together. And so continuing on here in Psalms 89 and verse 6, for who in heaven can be compared to the Lord? Can anyone? Even he asks, who can compare to the Lord? But the world tells us that, oh, these movie can, or this can, or that big screen TV, or the Lexus commercials, whatever it might be, that can compare to the Lord. That is better than anything the Lord could ever give you. Because the Lord will give you salvation. But what does that do for you? Does that make your life easier? Does it make your life better? Does it help you with your financial challenges? Does it help you with your immediate need? Because that's exactly what the world wants you to do, to start to question the very thing that brings you eternal life. That I get nervous about. Because when I meet with people, those are the very things I start seeing to be decayed in the way that they talk. Because it's like, wait a minute here. Jesus, all those things, they can come and go. All those things, as we read in the book of Acts, you know, hey, let's give it all away, because that doesn't matter. What matters is my life and my walk and truly my worship with God. Well, my life could be this and that, and it's, you know, some of us might be saying, well, it's easy to say when everything's going okay, but what about when things get rough? Well, what did David do when things got rough? What did Joseph do when things got rough? What did Elijah do when things got rough? What did Moses do when things got rough? Did he ever have it rough? What about Paul? What happened when they were trying to stone him? What about Daniel? Thrown in the lion's den. Our assurance is still strong today. Do we want to take hold of it? Do we want to take hold of that assurance? Verse 7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him. O Lord, God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord, your faithfulness also surrounds you. You rule the raging of the sea, and when the waves rise, you do what? You have broken Rahab in pieces, and as one who is slain, you have scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours. The earth also is whose? The world in all its fullness. You have founded them. Amen? It's establishing him as whom? Our Creator God. When you look to Revelation 14, that whole segment there is all talking and reminding ourselves, why do we worship? Why do we fear him? Because he's our Creator God. Revelation is all about worship the Creator. And that is why we give thanks, because he is our Creator. In verse 12, it says, the north and the south you have created them. Tabor and Hermon, rejoice in your name. You have a mighty arm. Strong is your hand and high is your right hand. It's powerful what God can do. David's kind of worship was uncompromising, my friends, just like ours needs to be. David's kind of worship was his life. It wasn't something he did on a weekly cycle. It wasn't something that he just said, okay, I'll get this done this week. It was part of who he was, just like our walk with God. It is not something that defines me at 8 in the morning, 6:30 in the morning, at 7 o'clock at night, or whatever, Wednesday at 7 o'clock. It is something that defines every breath that I take every single day. Can't take that away. You can't subtract that. It's who I am. But the world tries to tell us that, you know what, that's only who you are during that hour or through that brief time that you spend in this place. When you spend just an hour with God, just an hour, once a week, how is that spiritual walk going? Jesus wasn't trying to put more rules on us and to tie us down. But what he was trying to do is he knows the value of a relationship and how important it is to cultivate not only a heart of thankfulness, but a heart that will endure. And we got to be real. We look at our lives and our relationships we have with another. When we're only indulging just a little bit, how are those relationships doing? But when we commit with our whole hearts, as David did, and we see that commitment reflected in our lives, things start to change. It becomes who we are and not what we are. Not something we do, but something which drives us in what we do. It builds our motivation. David's kind of witness or worship was witness as well. We saw that reflected in here, but also when you look at Psalms 40, verse 3, it says, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord, because he sings that song. God was able to share through David what it meant to have a life of worship dedicated to God and to be able to reflect that in worship to the Creator. What a powerful thing. But let's go to Acts chapter 2. I want you just to look there for a moment here in Acts chapter 2. We know this text, starting with verse 42. Acts 2, verse 42. But let's look at this, because there's four key elements that I want you to see here. 42 through 47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. The fear came upon every soul. Now, this isn't frightful fear, but the reverence of their worship. And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now, all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. Why would they do that? There was need, not only of the believers, but outside of that. And what did they do? They said, you know what? As they spent time, look at all that, what happened before. They spent time in worship. And in that worship, what did it help do? It helped them recenter their focus. And as a result of that, they made certain commitments. Not because they were trying to go, oh, look at me and look what I was able to sacrifice. It wasn't about the sacrifice of the things. It was about their devotion to the Creator God and their worship. Their worship helped brought them to a place of which they saw the needs and they were drawn to the needs of the people. Do you see the difference? Sometimes people go, well, we need to push for this, we need to push for that. But my friends, when we have a devotion to God and God is truly converting our hearts because of our transformation that we're spending in worship to God, then our priorities and everything else becomes in tune. Well, we could say, I could try to do this, I could try to do that, but what it culminates down to is our worship to our Creator, bringing our thankfulness even when everything else seems bleak. And we see this portrayed here, even in Acts here. So in verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple, where were they? Why would they be at the temple? I didn't think there was any kind of corporate worship here. It was just home stuff, right? So why were they at the temple? Because they were in worship. Sometimes we forget that, yes, there was a lot of home churches, if you will, in the Acts in the early history there, but there was also time where they would spend it together in the temple, because in the temple was a special place for them still in their hearts, a place of which they brought their relationship, their experience, their joy together in a corporate worship together. There's something powerful about two or three coming together, is there not? And so here they are, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church, how often? Those who were being saved. Sometimes we think of that idea, the added to the church daily, that it was only a means of just numbers. But do you really think it was limited to just numbers? Do you think God is just about the numbers? He's like, okay, if you're about 100 people, nah, you guys are all right. But Matt, if you're 500, wow, I'm really excited about you now. Is that really how God works? When he added to them daily, yes, that was numbers, but it wasn't just adding to the people, it was adding to the it was adding devoted worshipers to God. It was adding disciples. Do you see the difference? It was saying that together they were helping to cultivate and multiply disciples for Jesus Christ so they could do greater work. So it wasn't just the apostles going out and doing all the work. It was all of us. Amen? Okay, maybe I'm the only one excited about that. All of us got the chance to come alongside another person. What do you think we shared with them? What do you think they shared with them? The joy of their quality time in worship, whatever God fed them and shared with them, they would share with other people. And because of that, they were bringing people to Jesus together. Each one had opportunities to bring people to Jesus. And together, as they walked together in their faith journey, they were able to bring more and more, not just of people, but of devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We needed to be devoted even today, more than ever, because things are gray and things are this and there's so much confusion and there's all these things going on within the church and outside the church is getting us derailed from where we need to be focused. And we can allow it if we lose our sight of Jesus Christ. If we lose sight that our focus needs to be growing in the walk with Jesus and helping each other, joining with each other, uniting together as a family and moving towards that. This is the only way we're going to survive. Because if we let the idea of, well, as our forefathers might have done in 1621, going, those Indians, oh, no, no, no. They're dirty. We can't do anything with them. So we're just going to say, no, no, no. God has provided a help for them. They helped to teach them how to farm and to cultivate the soil and do those things. But if they would have turned away that blessing, that would have hurt them. how much, those are hypotheticals, but it definitely would have affected them. But they recognized God working. They recognized the opportunities. We need to recognize the opportunities that we can unify together as a family. And that unification comes in Jesus Christ. He's the glue. Oh, I might think the bathroom might need to be painted a color. We were talking last night, the youth room. Where's there, Celeste? All right. We were talking last night about that. And whether, not just Celeste, but the whole team there with Fog, Focus on God team. And we were talking about which color, this and that, and talking about the environment. Do you know how important it is to have a good quality environment? It's amazing principles that God has taught us about how it's important the kind of atmosphere we create, because it changes our moods. Is that true? That might be why we don't like certain rock music when the guy pulls up next to you and it's going boom, boom, boom and rattling your car. Anybody like that? No, don't raise your hand. I'm just teasing. But you know, that's one thing. I go, why? Why? If you want to, that's your thing. But why do I have to enjoy it? I don't want to enjoy it. But you know what I mean? Environment, and they even show studies that show scientifically how that stuff changes us. But my friends, the same thing applies when we come to a house of worship. The mood, the motivation of which we come with sets the tone of the environment. It doesn't get set by just the carpet and the wood and this and that. It gets set by our hearts and what we bring here to this room. Because the heart of worship is in whom? It's not here. Where is it? It's in you. So may what permeates this week and today and into the week ahead is the thankfulness we have to have a place of worship where we can come together. Because there's many parts of this world, my friends, where people are being persecuted still to this day, that they can't even have a place like this. They have to hide. They still get together. They still fight and do whatever they can to pull worship together. But my friends, it's a challenge. But they do it anyway, because it's important. And so we need to come in fellowship. We need to come in worship to remember to share our love of thanks to each other. We need to come with a heart of prayer. Amen? Because that's our communication line with one another and with God. And so we need to come sharing that thankfulness ring in all our hearts to worship to God. I want you to turn with me back to Psalms 89. Psalms 89. Just give me an amen or hallelujah, one of the two, when you get there. All right, praise the Lord. Psalms 89, starting with verse 15. It says here in verse 15, blessed are the people who know. I thought you guys were there. Psalms 89, what is it? That's good. All right. Psalms 89, verse 15. It says, the joyful sound. Praise the Lord. That's right. The walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all day long. In your righteousness they are exalted. Not in our righteousness, but in whose righteousness? That's right. In Jesus's. Thanksgiving rings in our hearts because of our worship towards God. It's not us, but it is Him. We're thankful for the ways that our worship team and others help us all in moving and journeying with God, but it really is where our heart is. Because you can take anything and it can lead you all kinds of different directions, but we've got to have a heart of which God is at the center, of which God is guiding, God is leading that motivation. And when we come with a heart of thankfulness, we come with a heart of joy that we want to sing to the Lord, even if you're like me and don't sound that good when I sing, but doesn't matter. I'm going to sing it out anyway, because I'm thankful the angels, you know, with their voices, they muffle mine and it sounds great to Him. And I pray it doesn't bug you too much. But I'm thankful that all relationships, they revolve around response. All relationships revolve around a response. When a little child is going through challenges, what does that little child look for? A response. From mommy or daddy. When a friend is going through challenges and they're suffering and they give you a call, what are they calling you for? A response. And when we come together as a family in Christ, we're looking for a response. But that response shouldn't just be from each other. The response needs to be from whom? That's where we go wrong. Sometimes we put too much into each other, where Christ is our Savior, not each other. You know why that's important? Because we, unfortunately, will let each other down sometimes. Not purposely, but it happens. We don't read something right, something was shared, and stuff piles up. We just don't know. There's all kinds of stuff. But you know what? It happens. But what pulls us together is not each other, it's Christ. And I pray that Christ can shine through each and every one of us. And as He shines through each and every one of us, we give our joy and our hope and whatever God gives us in gifts, we share that with one another. But what binds us together is Christ. Because people will come and go, but Christ is forever. And with that relationship, it does involve a response. And so as we sing this last closing song together, may you personally respond to your Lord God here today. Not respond to what I'm saying, not respond to what I've shared, but respond to what the Holy Spirit has put on your heart. So let's stand together as we open up our hearts in singing this closing song together.